everybody. This is episode 382 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Ignez, and today I will be talking about some anime, some video games, and maybe a little bit of a movie. Just a little bit. So it's just like every other episode. I think I'm going to start with the anime just to get it out of the way. And that is in part because I am just talking about the same two series from the last few episodes, because of all the shows I've been watching, these are the only two I have yet to finish until now that are all wrapped up and aren't continuing on to the next season. There are a few that have yet to wrap up in their dubbed format, which I've been watching because they're series I don't particularly like, except for Kato. I think Kato is great and has a surprisingly really good dub. But the shows I want to talk about today are, once again, Sukasuka, otherwise known as World End, 18 Sentences, and Tsukigakure. And the weird thing is, one is very clearly about romance and love and all that, and then one probably doesn't seem like it is from the very beginning, from the first few episodes, but it ends up being very much so about that. And I'll just warn people ahead of time, spoilers will certainly come about because I don't know if I can really talk about them. I definitely don't feel comfortable talking about them without hitting some spoilers, especially for Tsukigakure. But I'll start with World End, Sukasuka. That was a series I really liked from the first few episodes because I thought the premise, having these young girls who are known as fairies, are basically created. And I think they're created from souls of previous girls and whatnot, previous fairies. And they're created to be used as weapons. They wield these weapons, and when they expel all their energy, they essentially blow up and become weapons of mass destruction. And they don't really feel pain or don't know how to react to it, or at least don't react to it in the normal way. They just kind of like, whatever, they brush it off. And I thought there was something very interesting about that. And, you know, it was somewhat dark and it was thought-provoking in ways. But then the series turned out to be, while it still had this element of the fairies and these young girls being used as weapons and just kind of thrown away and, you know, discarded and not really looked at as humans or as living things by most people, it turned out that the series was really about this romance between the main characters, the protector, the, I forget what his role was, what his actual title was, but the one who was looking over all the girls, Willem, and this older fairy who was kind of nearing her last legs, because also when these fairies start using so much of their energy and are about to run out or about to expel or reach their expiration date, as one might put it, they start losing their memories and sort of degrade from a personality standpoint. So this one who's older and kind of on the last legs of her rope or whatever the hell that saying is, Kutoli. It turns out that the show is very much about this relationship between Willem and Kutoli. And I just had a problem with that because I didn't really buy their romance. The love that they had for one another that grew over time, I didn't buy it actually growing. I didn't really get the feeling that they had some love that was growing over time. At first I just thought, you know, he looked at her and she was like, you know, she's a good girl and, you know, he wants to protect her like he wants to protect all of them. And I still don't know what his age is, because he appears to be a young adult, I would assume in his like mid-20s, you know, maybe even close to 30 and around that age. And she very much so looks and seems to be like she's in her mid-teens at the very latest. I don't really know what their ages are because it never makes that clear. So it comes across in part, in one way, why I don't really like it is because it comes across as this really weird relationship that is not socially acceptable, not politically correct, that is a little weird and Woody Allen-ish. But I also just didn't buy that they had this romance that grew. Like, it just, it didn't make sense that their relationship had grown into a romantic love, a mutual romantic love. And yeah, so I could tell probably about halfway through that the series was turning into that, and that I knew the way it was going to end, and that it was just going to be this kind of somewhat manipulative romance that just wants to make you cry in the end and is going to break your heart when all is said and done. And for people who love that and eat that up, I'm sure they adored the series and just, you know, they just ate that up. But for me, I don't like that kind of crap. I don't like things being pigeonholed to try and appease an audience desire and not worry about how much sense it makes. So yeah, it turned out to be somewhat of a disappointment. And in the end, I just thought it was fine. A solid 6 out of 10 or whatever, using the My Anime List rating scale. And then Tsukigakure was this wonderful kind of constantly gut-wrenching adolescent love story, first love between these junior high students, essentially 8th grade here in the States is where they would be age-wise and grade-wise. And they don't know what they're doing. They're, you know, very unsure of themselves and of their partners too, Akane and Azumi. And I really liked it for the most part. But the ending kind of killed it for me. I dropped it a point because of the ending. Because throughout the series, you see them struggling with this romance and with their feelings. And they are growing as the series progresses. They are helping each other grow and figure out more things about themselves and each other. But to me, it's an adolescent love. So a prototypical first love, and these things don't typically last. I don't know what the numbers are, but I am assuming that people who have their first relationship when they're in eighth grade, I'm assuming the numbers of them going on to marry that partner and have kids with them is very, 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 very low. But that's how it ends in the end credits. You see this little kind of montage of just their lives as, you know, going through high school and then college and blah, 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 growing up. And it ends with them holding a baby and you see their wedding rings. And it's just like, okay. And I was so excited for like 5 seconds when in the credits before this went on to the montage crap, they were saying, both of them were basically saying, this is my first love. I didn't know what I was doing. I was hoping, even though I knew in my heart that it wasn't going to do this, that it was going to be a stupid, sappy, ridiculous, unbelievable, happy ending, I was really hoping they would end it with, you know, this is our first love. This is my first love. Didn't know what I was doing. You know, in the end, it didn't work out, but I grew from it. I learned about love from it. It helped me become a better person. This person will always be incredibly important to me. You know, they could still be friends for whatever, you know, or whatever. But it didn't do that. It went the ridiculous, sappy, unbelievable happy ending that clearly the the majority of the audience for series like this love. And I am someone who is a known pessimist, but the one place in life where I am an optimist is in romance. I am a hopeless romantic. I love love. There's nothing I enjoy more than a great romantic comedy, or even just a good one. I love so many romantic comedies, and I enjoy them when they have happy endings. But there's a point where believability, there's like a line in believability where I will accept a certain number of unbelievability, but once it crosses a path, I don't like it. And that happened with me with The Notebook, with the way that ended. But that kind of, it didn't ruin it, but I never watched the ending. I never watched it through to the end. But I just can't believe that this couple stood the test of time. Because during the series, I'd never felt some strong connection between them. I just felt like they were two people who, for whatever reason, they saw each other and had this feeling that they couldn't really understand, didn't know why. And they weren't the best for each other, but they were the right couple. They were the right pair for each other at that point in time. But I don't believe they were the right pair for all time. And so the ending just kind of hurt the series as a whole for me a bit. Even though I knew it was probably going to go in that place. Pretty disappointed in that, though. But I know, given the score on Miami List, it really went way up. It's at like 8.4 right now. So, yeah. I'm definitely in the minority when it comes to being really disappointed with the ending. Because I was also looking at the episode 12 discussion, and people were just like, oh, that's a perfect ending, perfect ending. Oh, my God. But also, I mean, people thought it was such a wonderful romance. And like, oh, why can't I have a romance like this in my life? And so, it might just be that you have to be of or around that age to really like it. And being someone who's a bit older, maybe a bit more jaded, I don't enjoy that as much. I don't know. But yeah, that will do it for the anime. Next episode, I'll probably have a preview of some of the summer anime and whatnot, though. Nothing really stands out. I was looking through Crunchyroll's current lineup that they have confirmed, and I've added stuff to my queue just to, give it the 1-2 episode try, and nothing really stood out as, oh, this could be pretty good, except there is, a samurai anime that looks like it could be very, very pretty, but I don't really ever have high expectations of such series in terms of story or anything like that. I think it's called Katsugeki. So there's that, and then there's something that could be amusing just because it's kind of weird from a visual standpoint, is some series about a centaur girl, and I don't know if she's the only centaur, but yeah. And then I've heard decent things about this isekai Shokudo, which could be good. So I'll check that out. But that's a very typical sort of like, oh, this is a, I think it's another one of those like, oh, here's a restaurant that takes you to a fantasy land, blah, blah, blah. But of course, there is Sakura Quest continuing on, and My Hero Academia, which is continuing on, which will both be fantastic continuations for the season. But yeah, and I think I might also catch up on some shorts from the spring season, because I kind of like to, at this point, watch shorts in marathon sessions. I mean, it's essentially the length of 2 episodes or 1.5, depending on the length of the episodes, whether it's like a 3-minute or 6-minute series. So I might do some of that if there's anything that looks good or has been reviewed somewhat well from last season. Moving on to the game. So I got codes for both of these, and I'm going to start with one that I can get over quickly, which is Black and White Bushido. This I got a code for on Xbox One. I believe it's on PS4 and PC as well. It is $12.99, and it is an online or local co-op / multiplayer game where you're playing in a static environment as a ninja or a samurai, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're, you know, something of that ilk. And you are either black or white, and you use this to your advantage because the environments are black and white, and when you are a black character in a black part of the game, of the level, you are very well hidden. You're not completely invisible because you still have to see your character, but you are very well hidden and can sneak up on other opponents, whether they are of the same color or not. And it makes for an interesting game mechanic because you can sneak up and surprise characters. Though I find in actual play, most people don't stay still for often or move slowly. So there's no real point to the stealth actual button, which makes you move slower and all that. I think it might make you invisible as well. It's completely, but there's no real point to that because characters are just moving around all the time super fast. But it's not a super fully featured game. It's a 2D game with tiny little sprites pulled fairly back. Static environment, I think I said that. So, you know, you just get a full view of the entire map. And then there are three different modes. There's Deathmatch, Capture the Flag, and Challenge. I'm not sure if Challenge is multiplayer as well, but you can play these against bots or against other humans. The bots are fairly stupid, and as far as I can tell, there's no way to do teams of you having a bot and then fighting against two other bots. It's 1 to 4 players, and that's the max 4. But it's a decent game. Like, I would definitely hold off on it if you don't have people to play with, but if you have friends to play with, it is pretty fun. I especially like the Capture the Flag mode because deathmatch is just basic deathmatch. You're just going around. I think the lights, what areas are dark and light will change as the game progresses so that you will, you know, you can be discovered randomly and whatnot, or find shelter at any given point with it changing and whatnot. But the thing I like about the Capture the Flag mode is that it's not your typical Capture the Flag in that you have to pick up a flag and return it to your base. The way it works is that a flag will randomly appear on the map, and when you are there, you are collected or whatever. And when you do that, more of the environment will turn to your color until someone, some team, ends up turning the map completely to their color. So if somebody else collects there, you know, it's a very good kind of tug of war. Type of mechanic, and it almost would make more sense if it's that, but you know, you're still capturing these flags, so that's where the name comes from. But I think that's where the game really shines in that mode, because deathmatch is just deathmatch. Challenge is fine. That's the best mode I'd probably say for single player, just because it's more about kind of lasting as long as you can and capturing these flags as they show up, and is more suited for single player play. But Capture the Flag is a lot of fun, and the tug of war aspect to it makes it very hectic, and also means that some matches could go on for a very long time. I was playing a match that just kept going back and forth, and eventually we just kind of decided to quit. We had fun, but nobody ended up winning because we were just, you know, evenly matched, and there's a degree of luck that comes to it, because we had times where we would be one away from winning, and then the flag would just, you know, appear right next to the opponent, the other person, and therefore they would just be able to snatch it really quickly and turn the tables. But I really like that mode. I think $12.99 is maybe a little bit too much for what's actually there, especially given that you really need to play with other people to get the most out of it. And I haven't seen, and getting into a multiplayer game isn't super easy. It's a fairly new game, but I don't think it has the largest audience, and I don't know if it will, but it's a solid game that I think could become something. When it goes on sale, because most games go on sale, and more people pick it up, and it gets more exposure, being highlighted in a sale with, you know, a handful of other games, as opposed to just coming out and being thrown into the mix with all the other games that come out, then I think there'd be a better chance of finding people, and it'd be cheaper, and I think that would be probably the best option for it. But if it sounds interesting, definitely check it out. Look at it. Check out some videos and whatnot. Maybe I'll do a video of it. But that is, once again, Black and White Bushido, and it's $12.99. And then the other game I played is Area. I believe that's how it's pronounced. A-E-R-E-A. And this is an action, why does that sound weird? Action RPG in the same vein as Diablo or any type of isometric dungeon crawler, hack and slash and all that jazz, that is music themed, specifically concert music themed. And it has a very good first impression in that it is very colorful and has an art style that could be somewhat charming, but then everything else with it is just a complete mess. It is just not a great game. And I want to preface all this with something I say anytime this ends up happening and I end up in this situation, but I do not enjoy hating a game. I don't hate the game, that is too strong of a term, but I never enjoy disliking a game as much as I dislike Area. And I never enjoy or find pleasure in talking about games in such a harsh way. Because I don't go into any game wanting it to be bad. I want every game to be great. And sometimes that's not the case. And many times games are just okay. They don't really do much for anything. They don't really push the needle in any direction. But then there are games that kind of make me, I don't know, it's just, this isn't fun for me. This isn't enjoyable for me. This is the most miserable experience. There's nothing I hate more than hating on a game or any type of media. But Area is just not good. The music aspects of it are just completely superficial. It has an okay soundtrack, and then it has enemies that are designed around musical instruments. You have like a bagpipe spider and an accordion snake and stuff like that. But other than that, the music isn't really a prevalent part of it. You use like maybe one of the characters has a conductor wand as a weapon, or uses a stretched out guitar or something. But the game itself is just the most shallow Diablo clone out there. There's no depth to the combat. There's no challenge to it. It's super easy. You don't need to think about the combat or the enemies. You can take down most of them with one hit, two hits at max. They don't do that much damage to you. The most damage you'll take from the game is when you are struck by a trap that you just kind of lollygagged around, because you're like, whatever, this game isn't hard at all. There's a lot of backtracking in it. the systems are just very, very shallow in terms of upgrading your character. You get these points whenever your weapon levels up that you can use to level up one of five attributes, but I find no reason to level up any attribute other than the one that increases your attack, because nothing else matters, really. Your health is not something you really have to be concerned about. Magic is not something I ever use, because there's no point to it. You can just use a regular attack, and you go to the same environments over and over and over again. There are characters that just put you on these stupid tasks that you're just going around collecting. So these little fetch quests, and then you return and they send you on another fetch quest, and then they return and send you on another fetch quest. The map is awful because you cannot get a full screen map. So the mini map that's in the upper right hand screen is your only way of seeing the area. You can't actually see the entire map. So if you know that there's something you need to find and there's an arrow pointing in that direction, you will not be sure if you're on the right path until you just walk down it and hope that you don't run into a dead end because you can't see the full map. It's a mess. And there's no online co-op. There's local co-op, which is fine. But it is super, super boring because of the lack of challenge, the lack of depth in the combat, the lack of character customization and abilities to upgrade and all that. I hate the fact that the interact button is the same button as the attack button. I don't know what they were thinking with the controls, because there are buttons that do the same thing, and then there are buttons. I feel like the control scheme could have been better handled, and I don't know. I played like 4 hours of it, and every minute of it was boring as all hell. I don't care about the story. I'm annoyed by how shallow and superficial the musical aspect of it is. Even the bosses aren't challenging. The game has a few bugs in it where I was fighting the first boss and it jumped away, which is what it does at times. But then I kept hearing like explosions or like it was jumping and smashing into the ground. But it never appeared in the level again, and I had to quit out, which was frustrating because I didn't want to deal with it again and have to get back to it. But I beat it without any problem. The way the game works when you're in the areas is just that you go to an environment, whether it's a forest or a sewer area, you go to these little kind of small boxes. You know, you have little pathways to somewhat open areas, and then enemies just magically come about from thin air and you kill them until they stop spawning, and then a door opens, or sometimes you'll have to pull a lever, which is a metronome, whoop-de-doo, and then a door opens or a pathway opens. Then you go along that path, and then you get to another open area and kill enemies as they spawn until they stop spawning, and that's all you ever do. And I know that's the way a lot of these games work, but there's no real creativity in the level design. There's not much variety in terms of enemies. They're not fun to fight. They don't have any type of interesting ways of, I don't know, there's no enemy where you have to fight them in any way other than just walk up to them and then smack them once and then they're dead. You don't have to really block. You don't have to do anything other than just go around and smack, smack, smack. It's just a very shallow, very boring game. If it was possible to fall asleep while playing a game, which would be very hard to do because you were actively a participant of video games, Aria is a game that would be very easy to fall asleep with. So yeah, I don't know. It's just very, very boring and shallow, and I can't see any reason why, no matter how much you like these types of games, I just cannot recommend it because it is so boring and it is so shallow, and it is $40 on Xbox One. It's $30 on Steam. I don't know why it's $10 more on Xbox One and presumably the same on PS4. You can get it for $40 on Steam, and it comes with a soundtrack and an art book, but you don't get that with the Xbox One version, so I don't understand why it has the premium price, but it's overpriced, it is incredibly boring, and I cannot not recommend it highly enough. It doesn't do anything actively bad. It's not like it's doing things that are actively against the player, but you know, it's just so freaking boring. It is the opposite end of games that are so challenging or so overly difficult that it can turn off a gamer. It is a game that is so easy that you just kind of like whatever, you glide right through it. It's like a warm knife through butter, and then you melt away. I don't know what I'm talking about, but yeah, super, super, super disappointed. I was pretty excited about it because I saw that it had the music theme. I love music, and that it was a, you know, action RPG in the same vein as Diablo, Torchlight, all those types of games, and that is my jam. I love those types of games. But then I found out it's so shallow. And I don't know if it was finished, because I'm pretty sure the tutorials are all out of order, because when I was going through the first level in the sewer and I was getting these tutorials for how to navigate the maps, they were telling you about, okay, there are these times where you have these little blocks that you have to push onto these little button type things to open areas. It just felt like these things they were telling me were out of order, because they would tell me about those and then I wouldn't run into one until I already passed another two or three tutorial things. And I was like, wait, what is going on here? And then I would reach another tutorial that tells me about something that I've already encountered. And yeah, there's something about it that just seems a bit out of whack. But yeah, that's Aria. $40. Don't do it. Maybe it'll get patched and updated. I doubt it, because I don't know what they could do in any kind of non-significant way to make it a more enjoyable experience. And also, if you like these games specifically to play them with other people, remember, it's local only, which is good. You know, there are still people who like doing couch co-op and all that, but the lack of online multiplayer makes it harder for some people to swallow. But yeah, that's Aria, and that will do it. I watched Wonder Woman. That's the good movie I was hinting at. I thought it was pretty good. I don't think I talked about it on a previous episode, but yeah, I think it was pretty good because of the director and because Gal Gadot was really, really good in the role. But I think a lot of that has to do with the direction and having her be more lighthearted and having humor in the movie and color in it and just not being a Debbie Downer like everything Zack Snyder makes at this point. Or at least what he's done with the Superman movies, because I think Henry Cavill could be a really, really good Superman, but it's just Zack Snyder being like, no, don't you ever smile. Give me that sad face all the time. And he's ruined the chances of that series. Because Henry Cavill was really good in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I really liked. And I've seen him in some other things from very early on in his career where he's enjoyable and charming. But, you know, and Man of Steel is fine. though it's still, you know, kind of a downer movie. Not super kind of whatever. But Batman v Superman was awful. But yeah, Wonder Woman, enjoyable. I also really liked Chris Pine in it. I'm not a huge fan of him, so that was a pleasant surprise. And I thought the movie overall was pretty good, other than the ending, which is just a problem for superhero movies in general, where they never really have the greatest climax or the greatest final clash between the protagonist and the antagonist. But that's just kind of something that is expected, or something that I can't be too harsh a critic on, because they all do it, and it's just sort of something you come to accept, and you really only point out when it's done really well, instead of pointing out, oh yeah, it's not that great again. But if you still haven't seen it, I would recommend checking it out while it's still in theaters, because movies like that are still worth seeing in theaters. But yeah, that will do it officially for today's episode. Hope you all enjoyed it. I hope I didn't break your hearts with how I hate love, apparently, in anime. But once again, I'm your host, Mark Huznes. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage on PSN. I am the Kush 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, and all the art I do, which if you'd like to see in one place, go over to pxsart.com and check it out there. There are links to where you can purchase prints for all of the pictures as well, for all the artwork. And if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. Of course, if you like this podcast and want to help it grow, tell your friends about it. Go to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to it. And of course, it is available everywhere pretty much, on Stitcher Radio, Player FM, Google Play Store, SoundCloud, kind of. All the usual places. Listen to it wherever you like. And also, before I go, do want to throw out some love for a few Friends of the Family podcasts, like the Sports Car Elise podcast for fans of racing, and co-hosted by Rich Hall from the Pixelated Radio podcast. And then for those who really like anime and want just all the anime podcasts they could ever listen to, hope for, whatever, check out the Crazy Sunshine podcast, which is hosted by two fine fellows from the great state of Washington. Yeah. All right, everybody. That will do it. Hope you all have had a wonderful start of your week and enjoyed the holiday. Hopefully you didn't set off any fireworks and scare a bunch of dogs, like so many people do, which is sad. Okay. So that will do it. Do it, do it, do it. Until you're satisfied. Yeah. Bye.